Nice to have you here. Let's talk. Let's talk Writers of the Future and Elise Stevens and what's going on with you. Congratulations! I guess you're a. Are you a monthly winner of Writers of the Future?
I'm a quarterly winner.
Quarterly.
It has four quarters in which people can enter, and then they name a first, second, and third place winner. So I'm a first place winner for quarter three.
Oh, okay. All right. So and you. So you're going to go to L.A. next month, right?
Yes,
and
I'm very excited.
You're going to be in that final competition, right?
Yes. So as a first place winner, there's four of us, one for each quarter, and there will be a grand prize, which they will announce at the ceremony, the big award ceremony on Friday, April 5th.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever been to L.A. before?
I have not been much to L.A. I've been to Torrance, where my grandparents live, but not so much into L.A. proper, and I've never been to Hollywood, so I'm going to have stars in my eyes the entire time.
No, you're gonna love it. I've been down there. I haven't been at Writers of the Future. I haven't been to the big conference. I have a standing invitation from those people, but I haven't made it yet. But Torrance, where is Torrance?
Best I remember it, this is me remembering as a little kid. I have not been down for a while. Do I know where Torrance is? I think it is slightly south of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Beyond that, I know it's on a hill. this is me never looking at a map. Where is Torrance in relation to everything else?
Okay. I asked because my family kind of settled once they left Norway and came over. They settled around Long Beach, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, Huntington Beach, that area there, and before my parents moved up to Seattle. So anyway,
okay.
So it's kind of... Gosh, we seem to travel in the same areas, it looks like. So.
No kidding.
So anyway, how did you get into Writers of the Future? How did you get into writing?
Those are two different questions. I'll start with how I got into writing.
Yeah.
I was homeschooled and encouraged to pursue my interests as I wanted them once I finished my official studies. And around the age of 8, I decided that I wasn't interested enough in drawing, so I was done with visual art, and I decided I would start writing some stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to do that and taught myself to type and showed my mom forced my mom to read everything I wrote. And I continued an interest in it through high school. I did creative writing in college at the University of Washington, and it's been something I've been passionate about and very intrigued in getting better at since I was very young.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents have any interest in writing? I mean, do you come from a literary background in your family or anything like that?
I come from a very, I like to say, theatrical/dramatic background, so the good dramatic story has always been of interest. What I like to say is my dad is from the Middle East. He was born in Lebanon, so I have the very passionate Mediterranean blood on his side.
Uh-huh.
And then my mother was an actress. She majored in theater when she was in college. So you just have a great mix of wanting to tell big, dramatic stories. So that's where that came from.
are you very, how do you say, flamboyant in your, not writing style, but in your presentations? If you're talking to people, do your arms wave and you get all high in the voice and things like that?
As I was speaking, I was waving my arm. So definitely, yes.
I was just kind of wondering because it sounds like it kind of runs in the family a little bit, maybe. So.
Just a little bit.
How'd you get into Writers of the Future?
Writers of the Future, I found out about it first when I was at Orson Scott Card's Literary Boot Camp, which is something I'm not sure that he is still doing. But I went in 2014,
mm-hmm.
and I brought my little 8-month-old son, that's how old he was at the time, and I couldn't leave him, so I had a friend who came out with me so that I could go out with my kid and still have to do this thing.
Uh-huh.
And while we were talking about submitting short stories, because we all write a short story while we're there, and we workshop it and so on, at the end, as we were talking about publishing, Mr. Card said, "By the way, when you go and send stuff out, don't send it anywhere until Writers of the Future has rejected it." And I went, "Hey, what's that?" And so that's how it came on my radar. I started submitting a little bit after that. I submitted on and off. And then it was my third submission they took.
Okay. I don't know if I can actually talk to you about the work that you did that got accepted and has made you a winner. Are you allowed to talk about that at all?
Because they have not finished the voting for the grand prize, I cannot talk about the story itself.
Okay. All right.
I can talk a little bit about the kinds of things I like to write. I just have to be a little bit more general.
That's fine. Let me ask you about, because generally Writers of the Future tends to go into science fiction and fantasy and things like that. Has that always been an interest for you?
I've always been interested in unusual things happening in my stories that are beyond the realm of completely natural observation. So I would say yes. I think for a while I was exploring things like I did a retelling of a Greek myth that had some kind of magical realism stuff in it, or I had a story with a woman who had a grandmother who was imagining that she was corresponding with Claude Monet through these letters that she would write to herself. So I feel like I've always been interested in kind of unusual / strange things happening in my stories, but more and more as I've continued in writing, I was fantasy that it would fall into,
at
least, if you were to categorize it.
Okay. All right. When you were being homeschooled and you were throwing things to your mom saying, hey, read this, was she encouraging? Did she like what you wrote?
She was unabashedly encouraging. And I think that was such a gift. I think as a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, even 16-year-old, I was not in any way ready for harsh criticism, someone to, you know, talk about the grammar stuff I still had wrong. She was so interested in just getting the story and telling me how I could make it more compelling and more interesting. She said, if you have me reading more, I kind of don't care about the rest, which was lovely for a young writer. There comes a point when you do need to have the criticism, but I'm okay waiting till college, honestly.
Sure.
Before I think anyone really needs that.
I remember going through junior high and getting criticized, and you know, I still have the scars from all of that stuff. That, you know, why deal with that when you're young? You know,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Were you intrigued by fantasy, things out of the realm of normalcy, if you will? Was that an attraction as you were a kid?
I would say yes. I grew up on Harry Potter. I loved Lord of the Rings. I read Neil Gaiman in college. I'm trying to think of all the names of the things I read and were fascinated by. But I think I always did get drawn to the magical world, especially Chronicles of Narnia, especially the fantasies more than the science fiction, personally.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then, as you were doing, did you write your story that won here, the Writers of the Future? Did you write it specifically for Writers of the Future? Was that the end goal as you were writing the story?
Well, I knew it after talking to Orson Scott Card. I knew it needed to at least be my first goal, if not my end goal. Mm-hmm. So I definitely had a mind for it. In my case, after I learned about the contest, I went and got myself a copy of one of the past volumes and started reading it. And I went, oh my goodness, I think I've just been reading the wrong genre. I found my people. Uh-huh. So there was even just a sense of like, this is what I'm excited about. This is what I want to be writing more of. Mm-hmm. I didn't even fully know it at that point. Mm-hmm. The draft that I had started not for Writers of the Future. I kind of rewrote it and thought about resetting it and recasting it in a kind of different locale. And then it became something that I thought, yeah, this could very possibly work. Heaven knows if they'll take it. I don't know that my odds are great that they'll take it, but I'll make sure that it would work for them at least.
Mm-hmm. When you're in the creative process and the formulation of a new writing, you know, a new piece of writing, how do you go through that? How do you decide Well, this is what it's going to be about.
I learned soon after college from a really wonderful man. His name's Brian McDonald, and he's done a lot of workshops for storytelling. He's worked at Pixar kind of on the big picture, what's your story about? And I'm a huge Pixar fan. So anyway, I very much respect him. Think he's a great person and friend. He has a book called Invisible Ink. And I read that, and I felt that really impacted me. Long preamble to my answer.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the armature of a story and the essence of what your story's about. And often that is this tiny little sentence. Like, that's what it can be distilled into. And I try really hard to find that, even if it's at the end of a draft. It's often I try to find it before I even start that first draft. What is my story about? Is it about the things we do out of love as parents? Is it about learning that the future really is completely beyond our control? Something like that. And then I try to sculpt my characters to reflect good or negative versions of an answer to that. I try to have my setting support that thematically. I try to have pieces of art or scraps of writing that maybe my characters discover be some reflection or comment on that, so that it all is saying what I have set out to say. So it's a very planning-oriented approach.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where it's going to end before you start writing, or how it's going to end?
Because I outline, I usually do. I do sometimes hit the trouble, well, trouble. I hit all sorts of trouble points. Who am I kidding? but one of my ones that I really hate hitting is when you are going through your plot outline and you get to the right before the climax and right before the hero triumphs in some way, there's this all is lost moment. And it's not things are bad. Things got bad and then they got really worse. And I remember being in the midst of a story writing that and telling my husband, I'm so depressed, I don't know what I'm doing. He says, I think the all is lost has become personal. And it has. I'm lost, too. Like, I'm lost right with the character. So I usually know how I want it to end, but sometimes getting there is still quite the challenge.
I've talked to a lot of authors over the years, and usually, more often than not, I have heard them say, you know, I was in the middle of writing the story, and then all of a sudden the character did something that I didn't expect, and the whole story changed. It took a different arc, and I just find that interesting.
I would say that does not happen to me that often, but I often find that the characters have much more to their backstory than I'm expecting. So I often get surprised in my planning stages and go, so you're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are you going to do?
Uh-huh. Right. How long did it take you to write this story that won for Writers of the Future? Was it a lengthy process?
It was lengthy in the sense that I picked it up and put it down and left it, picked it up, put it down, edited it, rewrote one particular section of it three times and submitted it to my writers group three times. So they were like, well, we don't care about this piece anymore, do we? I would say somewhere in the ballpark of 2 years before, from when it was conceived in its current setting and locale and everything to when I sent it in. So it was a long time.
I wanted to talk to, I'm glad you mentioned the idea of a writer's group, because support is so important for budding authors. How much support do you need, and how much are you getting?
I need bucket loads. I would say I'm probably getting enough, but that's because I have an incredible resource of different writers groups. So I have a writers group that I personally oversee and run, and we've been meeting for like 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet once a month, and we critique each other's pieces, and we have breakfast. It kind of takes the whole morning, and we're friends, and many have moved on since then, and so we have new faces and old faces, and that's beautiful and vital and very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another group that I've been a member of for much less time, but they're specifically a science fiction and fantasy writers group. And they meet in the, it's a coffee shop in Roosevelt, and I'm blanking on the name.
Okay.
But it's, I will remember it, and Wayward, there we go, the Wayward Coffee House.
Hmm.
And they are very, they're the ones that will give you the harsh criticism, but they will tell you unabashedly if they think you're on the right track. So that's where I go after my writer's group has said the nicer things and spoken to me as a friend, and then I edit it, and I gird my loins, and I go into this one and see if it'll stand up. And usually it does stand up, but man, I get sweaty on those ones.
Really?
When I'm being critiqued.
Yeah. When you
and then my brother and my husband are my readers kind of at the very end, and my husband listens to me read stuff out loud for flow, and my brother gets all my technical jargon right because he's a electrical engineer, and that wasn't my major. And that's invaluable too. So
yeah.
I have all sorts of people helping me.
When you told your support groups, or have you told your support groups, hey, Writers of the Future accepted my, hey, I'm a winner, you know, I'm wondering what their reaction was.
They'd heard me talking about Writers of the Future for quite a while. So they were very excited for me. I had some people who I called them directly, and they were jumping up and down, having to pause to explain to their roommates what was going on, and then continue jumping up and down. And my wider support network, I called my cousin. I think she cried when I told her, because she'd known how long I had been planning on this and talking about it and what it meant to me. So very excited.
Yeah. So now you're on your way to L.A. next month. You're taking the hubby and kids with you?
I'm getting a break from the kiddos.
Oh,
I have my mom and my mother-in-law. They're going to help with the kiddos. My husband is coming down for the night of the big award ceremony, he'll be with me for that weekend.
I'm assuming, and I know I shouldn't do that because it just causes me problems. But do you have a regular job outside of this? I mean, do you work outside of when you're not writing for Writers of the Future or anybody else, or are you a stay at home mom, or what's going on with you?
Presently, I'm home with the kiddos. Mm-hmm. I am homeschooling my 5-year-old. He's in kindergarten, so. Mm. I'm doing that and keeping very busy, and then I write during nap time, and then I have help watching them. So
right.
It's kind of a split.
It is. What does your husband do? I'm just curious.
He is a structural engineer.
Oh, okay.
He designs buildings.
Oh, so not an architect, but a structural engineer, huh?
Yeah, they work with architects. I like to say the architects have their design and their scope, and then the engineer says, okay, and this is how it's going to stand up.
Uh-huh.
We have
okay.
to figure out how
this is the form of the building it will take. So, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, after Writers of the Future, let's say, well, no matter what happens, what's next for you? Do you have a plan? Do you have a goal in mind? What do you want?
I am drafting the outline for a novel that would actually be set in the same world as my short story, which is going to appear on the anthology. So I'm drafting a novel that I would like to get working on and get drafting. And then I want to start sending it out to agents. I, as of yet, don't have representation and would love representation. So those would be my goals, is to get this novel finished and to get an agent.
I am guessing that Writers of the Future can be a big help in that. Those workshops that they have and things like that, those are going to help you quite a bit.
I'm hoping so as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now you are. I know I'm supposed to ask here. What are your tips for people who want to be a writer? And, you know, to be where you are right now.
I think, as we talked about already, being in a writing group is one of the best things you can do, because it gives you somewhere to send your stuff, and it gives you a place to to create for. And hopefully that's a safe environment, you know, doing it with people who are at least going to be kind if and when they criticize. I sometimes go to my critique group and say, I don't even want anything negative. Just tell me what's nice here. I'm not in a place where negative is helpful, or criticism is helpful, rather. Mm-hmm. So I think being in a writer's group of some kind is really good. I think committing to finishing something is a huge part of writing. Just don't do beginnings all the time. Commit to finish it, even if it's terrible. You can shelve it, you can never show it to someone, but just the finishing of it is really good for you. And finding somewhere to send it out to, at some point, you'll read something and say, my writing is better, or at least as good as this thing. And at that point, you're going to, you know, something published, that's when you should start sending, you know, read other things, read short story collections, read Writers of the Future, and start to see what it is that's out there and let it be inspiring to you. Mm-hmm. And make your work climb and improve until it starts to match that quality. I feel like you can sense that when you read it. Mm-hmm. I've spent years reading stuff going, nope, no, I am not that good. I'm definitely not that good. Uh-huh. And then there comes a point where you go, I think I could stand a chance, maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When people put down your work, is there something you want them thinking? Is there something you want in their minds when they put it down?
Are you talking about specifically my short story in this collection?
I shouldn't probably talk about that, but generally?
I want my stories to convey a sense of compassion and deep connections. Interpersonal connections is a big part of my writing. I say I write dramatic relationships in high-stakes adventures. Often my dramatic relationships involve people with magically gifted abilities or in magical circumstances. The love and connection that they have with other characters that drives them to do things that are perhaps extraordinary or heroic or maybe just deeply unselfish. Another purpose that I feel I have in my writing is to portray stories that show characters that have gone through a deep loss and are looking for healing. I feel that I've been able to have some personal experiences of that, even in my very young years, and how that has shaped me. I feel like those stories of healing after deep grief are ones really worth telling, and I hope that they bring healing and encouragement and light to people reading them.
Mm-hmm. One last question. When you were talking about support and writing and tips for other people, usually when I talk to some authors and authors with Writers of the Future, they say, I've got a whole drawer full of manuscripts and stories that have never seen the light of day. Do you have one of those too?
I have so many stories that are still waiting. I also have a couple, actually three. A couple is two. I have three novels that I published with a small Seattle press. Uh-huh. Booktrope is no more. But I published a novel that was a young adult romance.
Mm-hmm.
And I published a young adult fantasy about seeing the future. And then I did a historical fiction set in 1950s Ireland where a boy discovers a dragon egg. So I have those, and then I have a ton of short stories that I'm still working on, and then I have, of course, this novel that is just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right.
Kind of a combo there.
You got a whole bunch of stuff you can still dig out then.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. So Writers of the Future, Volume 35 is going to be out next month in April. And that's writersofthefutures.com for people who want to know more and also for people who are interested in the contest itself, correct?
Yes, and you can pre-order Writers of the Future Volume 35 at any bookseller of your choice. It's available for pre-order right now, so you can get it as soon as it's out.
Mm-hmm. And is there an EliseStevens.com?
There is exactly www.EliseStevens, that's EliseStephens.com.
Uh-huh.
And that's the best place to find me and my blog and learn more about me and my books and kind of get a sense of who I am.
Yeah. Congratulations on winning, on being a quarterly winner. Good luck in the contest to come next month. And this has been, you're a neat gal. May I just say that
for
you're a neat gal for living a block away from where I grew up. So that's, I thank you for some time out. We're going to run this a little later on and I'm going to check out your blog and I'm hoping to hear good news from LA.
Ken, can I say just one little plug to invite aspiring writers to submit to the contest?
Absolutely.
Okay, I would love to do that because as an aspiring writer, I feel like it can be intimidating. It's intimidating to send your things out. This particular contest was created by L. Ron Hubbard just to pay it forward and keep the future of science fiction and fantasy going by encouraging people who would like that encouragement, who are working hard and... I'm amazed that they say that the success rate for the winners is 66% or so. So those are people who go on to have a successful career. So if you win it, like, they're just going to pour love and help on you. And if you don't, they're not going to be mean. So you have nothing to lose. It's free to enter. So I want to encourage anyone who's thinking about that or saying, I wish I was like her. I want to do that. Like, you can do that. And it is writersofthefuture.com where you can enter. So I just want to make sure to get that in there.
We're going to get that in there, and that's very, very well said. And I thank you for some time out, and I thank you for taking 40 minutes of your time to talk to me. This has been fun.
Thanks so much, Ken.